"The bastard!" Annie Fuller gasped, shocked at even allowing such an unladylike expression to enter her mind. She had been enjoying her tea and toast while sorting through her mail in splendid solitude. This was one of the privileges of being the owner of a boarding house, and absolute heaven after the dreadful years she had spent living off the charity of her in-laws, not a room or a moment to call her own. However, this morning, the mail contained a slim envelope that had blasted her peace to shreds. With trembling hands, she reread the letter, which followed the standard business formula, direct, very much to the point, and devastating in its implications. Mr. Hiram P. Driscoll, New York City, New York, July 25, 1879. Mrs. John Fuller, 437 O'Farrell Street, San Francisco, California. Dear Madam, I hope that this letter finds you in good health. It pains me to have to introduce such a difficult subject, but it is my duty to remind you of your obligation to repay the loan I made to your late husband, John Fuller, by September 30, 1879. To reacquaint you with the particulars, the original loan was for $300, to be paid back within 6 years. Under the terms of the loan, interest was to be paid monthly at a rate of 5% until the loan was repaid. In respect for your departed husband, for whom I had great affection, and in recognition of your financial difficulties at the time of his death 5 years ago, I did not insist that this part of the agreement be met. However, since none of the interest has been paid, you are now responsible for the original loan, plus accrued interest, a total sum of $1,380. I confess that I have been quite concerned about your ability to meet your obligations, and I was greatly relieved when I heard from your esteemed father-in-law about your good fortune in inheriting property in such an up-and-coming city as San Francisco. I must be in your fair city the last week of August on business. I would like to take the opportunity to stop by and visit with you at that time. I am quite sure that we will be able to come to some agreement of mutual benefit. Your obedient servant, Hiram P. Driscoll. Annie's skin crawled as she thought of Mr. Driscoll, one of New York City's most successful entrepreneurs. Your obedient servant. The hypocrite! She realized some women found his unctuous manner attractive, but after each encounter with him, she always felt soiled. At parties, he had leaned close, his husky voice whispering inanities as if they were endearments, his hot breath blanketing her cheek, and his hands roving unceasingly over her person, patting a shoulder, stroking a hand, squeezing an elbow. Annie shivered. Standing up abruptly, she crossed the room to close the window, shutting out the chill early morning fog. She had suspected that Driscoll had played some role in her late husband's dramatic slide into financial ruin, but she hadn't realized the man played the part of loan shark. Not that she was surprised at the debt. Creditors swarmed from the wainscoting in the months following John's death, picking over what was left of his estate. Few of them got a tenth of what was owed, since her father-in-law, as John's executor, hired an expensive but skilled bankruptcy lawyer to ensure that at least his own assets would not be touched. But Annie had been left destitute and dependent on John's family. Dependent, that was, until she inherited this house from her Aunt Agatha last year. She had returned to San Francisco, where she had lived as a small child, and turned the old mansion, located just 4 blocks from Market Street, into a respectable boarding house. Annie's features softened as she walked to the fireplace and turned to look at the room that had grown golden with the sunrise. The furnishings were sparse. There was an old mahogany bedstead and mismatched wardrobe and chest of drawers, a simple round table on which the morning tea tray sat, and a comfortable armchair next to the fireplace. A worn Persian carpet covered a dark oak floor, and the only decoration was the 2 simple blue jugs holding dried flowers sitting on either side of the mantel clock. These jugs and the clock were all that was left of her inheritance from her mother, who had died over 13 years ago. She didn't care if her surroundings were unfashionable, because she loved everything about the room and the house and the freedom they represented.